athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
I think very deeply.
In about 4 seconds, a teacher will begin to speak.
I think very deeply.
As always, thank you for joining me on another edition of Box to Row. Look, we've got so much to get to on today's program. I want to say this. We're towards the middle of April. We're starting to plan our family vacation, right? And I just got some great news that we're here in Raleigh, and there's a direct flight now from Raleigh to Bermuda. Had a chance to go to Bermuda on last year for the very first time. When you talk about the state of North Carolina, and let's say the coast, Wilmington to Bermuda is about 900 miles or so. It's not terribly far. And the Raleigh-Durham airport being probably closer than the Charlotte airport, because Charlotte has direct flights to Bermuda as well. But I'm excited now because Raleigh and Raleigh-Durham International Airport now has flights to Bermuda, direct flights, non-stop flights. And so we'll have to think about making taking that flight to the beautiful Bermuda. Big shouts out to our affiliate in Bermuda, 107, our hot 107.5 FM. Thank you for making Box to Row a part of your day. Are you planning a vacation? I'd love to hear from you. Are you planning a family vacation, a getaway, maybe even if it's a short getaway, a longer getaway, whatever it may be? Now, you know, for us is the time, because we're looking at going somewhere around the latter part of June to the early part of July. Would love to hear from you. Hit me up via Twitter or X, as it were, at DWare1, at DWare1, or on Box to Row, BOXTORROW. As mentioned, got a lot to get to on today's program. Last week, Christian Ings of Norfolk State, he won the NCAA slam dunk contest. And this young man, not only did he do very well at the slam dunk contest, but he's had some outstanding dunks throughout the course of the season. A couple of those dunks being highlighted on ESPN's top 10, on SportsCenter, even on GetUp. So Christian Ings of Norfolk State going to join us today here on the program. Look, the NFL draft now is less than 2 weeks away. And I can remember going back to 2006. As of course, for those that don't know, August 20th will be 20 years on the air for Box to Row. August 20th, 20 years on the air. I wanted you to save that date on your calendar right now, because there's going to be a celebration. We're planning for the celebration to be here in Raleigh, okay? And I want you to put that on your calendar right now, because in subsequent weeks, we're going to have more information, more specific information about the celebration. But right now, put Box to Row 20 years on your calendar, because I want you to be here in Raleigh for the 20-year celebration of Box to Row. And again, subsequent weeks, we'll have more information on 20 years of Box to Row. I say that to say this. Back in 2006, we began having as guests HBCU players, or some of the top HBCU players that could hear their name called in the National Football League draft. So that first year in 2006, let me tell you who we had a couple of weeks on before the show. Antoine Bethea, who went on to have a great career. As a matter of fact, became an instant star. He's a six-round draft pick in 2006 out of Howard by the Colts. Became an instant starter at the free safety position. Went on to have an outstanding career, Pro Bowl career. As a matter of fact, when USA Today asked me to rank the 100 top NFL players that played at HBCUs, Antoine Bethea was on that list. He also played for the Giants and the San Francisco 49ers as well. So we had him on a couple of weeks before the NFL draft. Also that year, we had the late Tavarius Jackson, who ended up being drafted in the third round, and Minnesota moved up in the third round. The quarterback out of Alabama State joined us. Bruce Eugene, the quarterback for Grambling, who didn't get drafted that year, but still excellent ball player at Grambling. He ended up signing somewhere as a free agent, got his opportunity. And then we also had Jason Hatcher, also at Grambling at that time, who ended up, I think he was also a third-round pick by the Dallas Cowboys, also went on to play for the Washington Redskins as well. So we had those young men on the program that year in 2006 when we first started with talking with some of the HBCU players that expected to hear their names called in the National Football League draft. Okay, 19 years later, the NFL draft for HBCU players is much different now than it was then, because at least that year, three players got drafted in relatively high. As I mentioned, Tavarius Jackson, the first HBCU player off the board in the third round. I believe Jason Hatcher was either third or fourth round. I think he was third round. And then, of course, Antoine Bethea was sixth round. It may have been another player or two. But since then, we have seen the numbers dwindle. And even before 2006, many HBCU players getting drafted. We've seen the numbers dwindle tremendously in terms of HBCU players getting drafted. But of course, we're still going to talk with some of the players that may hear their names called. So joining us today here on the program, Rob McDaniel, played safety for Jackson State. He's part of the HBCU Combine. Look, his stock is rising, right? He's going to join us today here on the program. Also joining us today here on the program, James Burgess, HBCU All-American. As a matter of fact, he won the Aeneas Williams Award for the top HBCU defensive back in the country out of Alabama State. His stock also on the rise. He's also going to join us today here on Box Row. Want to talk with these young men about their preparation for the National Football League. And then, of course, hopefully hearing their name called. It's been one of those deals. I mean, I've harped on this for so many years. The lack of HBCU players that are being drafted to the National Football League. And you could ask me this. If you've never heard me talk about this, you could ask me this question. Well, okay, a lot of players don't get drafted into the National Football League. But this is the deal. About somewhere between 35 to 40% of the players that are National Football League players currently were undrafted free agents. And you get guaranteed money. Like, there's two sides of the sword, if you will, to this argument. So if you get drafted, anywhere you get drafted, there's guaranteed money for you, okay, if you get drafted. If you don't get drafted, there's no guaranteed money. However, what can happen for you is you can sign as an unrestricted free agent to the team of your choice. And then also you may get a signing bonus also as well. So that could happen as well. But the lack of HBCU players being drafted, it's mind-blowing considering the fact that 35 to 40% of the players in the National Football League that are HBCU players are undrafted. So that means they could have been drafted to play. Okay. But anyway, we're going to have that conversation with those two young men, James Burgess, Rob McDaniel, going to join us today here on the program. I also mentioned Norfolk State guard Christian Ings also going to join us today on the program. He won the NCAA Slam Dunk Contest. You can participate with us here on Box to Row. Hit us up, hit me up on my personal X account at DWare1, at D-Ware 1, or you can hit us up here at Box to Row, BOXTORROW. So a couple of things I want to talk about. I got to say congratulations to Alexander Ovechkin, who on Sunday broke the record held by the great one, Wayne Gretzky, the all-time, Ovi, the all-time leader in terms of goal scoring in NHL history. The record was at 895. As a matter of fact, he had gotten close to the record maybe a game or two before. And it was interesting because Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, started to kind of make his rounds and make his trek kind of following Ovechkin, if you will. And he was here in Raleigh last week as the Hurricanes hosted the Capitals. And Ovechkin had a good, I think he scored two goals maybe in that game, but he was still a goal or two away from the record and then ended up breaking the record on Sunday. And this is great news for a couple of different reasons. You know, I grew up in the Washington area, grew up and still am a Capitals fan. And I spoke about this in 2018 when the Capitals won the Stanley Cup. Now, it had been since 1991 that a Washington team had won a championship. 1991, a pro team, because Maryland won the NCAA men's championship in 2002. But it had been since 1991 when the then Washington Redskins won the Super Bowl. So it was great for Washington. And, of course, there was some success later on because the Mystics ended up winning the championship and the Nationals in 2019 as well. Now we see the Commanders making a run towards perhaps a Super Bowl because the Commanders are really, really, really good. Had a really good season, expecting big things. This was so big for Washington when the Capitals won that championship. And now with Ovechkin becoming the all-time leading scorer, boy, wouldn't it be great to top it off if the Capitals won the Stanley Cup this year? And look, the Capitals, one of the best teams in the NHL, have an opportunity to win the Stanley Cup. Now, going to have some teams in their way, no doubt about it. The aforementioned Carolina Hurricanes going to be in the way. The Rangers going to be in the way. There are a lot of teams that are playing well that are going to be in the way. But wouldn't it be fitting and cap off an outstanding season by Ovechkin if he were to help lead the Capitals to the Stanley Cup this year? And I would be elated because it's been, you know, it's been some suffering in Washington as it relates to some of our pro teams, but it would be absolutely phenomenal. Still to come here on Box to Row, we're talking with we're talking with James Burgess. We're talking with Rob McDaniel, hoping to hear their name called in the NFL draft in a couple of weeks. Up next here on the program, Norfolk State guard Christian Ings. Keep it locked.
More of Box to Row with Donald Ware is on the way.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines. Plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
800-313-7757. 800-313-7757. 800-313-7757. 800-313-7757. That's 800-313-7757.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to
Box
Row.
To Box to Row.
Box to Row.
Our kids have a purposeful work about them. I have a tremendous staff. Most of my assistant coaches played for me. We really do have a family-type program here. My daughter's the director of all our basketball operations. My son is the associate head coach. Then the rest of the staff is have a connection to me somewhere or their former managers. I don't look at resumes. I don't take calls. I hire the people from within and I move them up, and that's what's made our program consistent.
That the voice of Kelvin Sampson, who joined us on the program at the beginning of March, the head men's basketball coach at Houston. Houston had a lot of opportunities to win that game. Give credit to Florida down the stretch, making the stops it needed to make, hitting the buckets it needed to hit. But boy, you're talking about the last couple of possessions where Houston didn't even get a shot off. But that said, you know the Cougars are going to be back. Kelvin Sampson's built a consistent program, and the Cougars will be back. Still to come here on Box to Row, James Burgess of Alabama State, Rob McDaniel of Jackson State, looking to hear their names called in next week's NFL draft. As we continue here on Box to Row, we're joined by a gentleman, as a matter of fact, just came off a couple of different things. He's had a busy, like, last 30 days or so. Norfolk State, of course, winning the MEAC tournament championship, participating in the NCAA tournament. Then he comes off winning the slam dunk contest in, of all the colleges, the slam dunk contest, big time. He had a big time dunk. Plus, he has some great in-season dunks, right? Like this shirt that I have on represents Morgan State. One of the tremendous dunks he had was against my alma mater, Morgan State. Christian Ings joins us here on Box to Row. What's going on, Christian?
I'm good. I'm just glad to be here, man.
Man, tell me about winning the slam dunk contest. Man, that's a big deal. All these college guys dunking, and you're the best of all of them.
Yeah, it was a great experience going out there, competing against some of the best dunkers in college basketball. They were all cool people, you know, Christian, Tevin, all of them. They were great guys. And I just won. That's all. I had to move.
Oh, you just, come on now. You did that. You just, yeah, I got it. I understand. But come on. It's a big deal though, right, Christian?
No, it was definitely a big event. I definitely was a little anxious when I first stepped out there, seeing everybody in the arena. That was like the first like part where I really realized, like, yo, this is like crazy. Like it was insane. Cameras everywhere. They had all types of cameras. They had the little crane I almost ran into. It was great. It was a great experience. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know, I got it, man. You got this Philly swag. I understand. It's all good. But look, I those that can't see, he's got the SC shirt on, the Sports Center shirt on. Man, I gotta ask you this. Like, that's really cool. Like, a couple of your dunks have made it to Sports Center and top 10 and all that. But I think anytime you can make it to Get Up and Mike Greenberg points you out specifically to Tim Legler for an in-game dunk you had, as I mentioned before, it was against Morgan State. Man, you must have been in the air gliding for like 3 seconds before you finally came down and dunked it. Talk about not only the dunk, but what it meant to be highlighted on Get Up.
I don't know. It all happened so fast, and it was so surreal. Like, even the play, like, I think we just got the ball in. JD got it. He swung it to me. I was pushing the break, and it seemed like nobody was in front of me. So I just was running, like, faster than I've really ran in a while, and I took off. And then it kind of just felt natural. I was in the air, and I windmilled and dunked it. And then, like, the crowd went crazy, and I was just like, dang, like, I just did that. I was like, that was – and then to find out, like, the next day, my mom, she came to the game. So my mom, my little brother was there. So they was at a hotel. getting ready to leave to go back to Philly. So I came to see him real quick. And on the morning, we got to watch it on ESPN on the hotel TV. And, like, that was probably my favorite part about the whole thing. Like, just being able to share that experience with my family. And then when they came across that it was on Get Up, that's when they really, like, hit me, like, yo, this might have, you might have did something just now. Like, that might have actually, like, that might have been probably your best dunk ever. Like, that it's, I'm still dealing with people talking about the dunk.
Wait a minute. I gotta rewind that back. You said, I may have just done something. You think so, Christian? You did. It's one thing for them to show the replay and to be on top 10. Mike Greenberg with Tim Legler highlighted it.
Shout out to Mike and Tim, man. Like, I don't know. It was just like, I feel like I've done that dunk so many times in my lifetime. Like, I did the same dunk in high school in 10th grade when we played Abington. I finished the game with a windmill. So it was like, I didn't know that it was going to go that viral. Like, I got bounced. I just wanted to show it off. It's my last game. I gotta give him something. It's my last one. I gotta give him something.
Christian Ings joining us here on Box to Row. I love it, man. I love it. So tell me about this season. 4 years for you at Norfolk State. This was your last year. Had a really, really good season. Just speak to your time at Norfolk, but this year in particular, winning the MEAC tournament championship.
My time in Norfolk has been great. I feel like I've grown a lot as, you know, not only a player, but as a man and as a student of just, you know, growth. And like, we won our first season when I got here, me, Joe, Banks, Tate, all them. All of them. We won our first season. It was like, when we won, I kind of got hurt a little bit towards the end of the season. So, like, I didn't really play as much towards the end. And I felt like my teammates kind of got that championship for me. And after that year coming back, I really got injured that second season. And I had to sit out for the whole conference season. It really sat me down to really see the game in a different light. So then this year that we just had, to be able to finish, you know, my college career and my fourth year at Norfolk with the championship, I felt like me and my guys brought the crown back to Norfolk where it belongs before we left. I feel like that really was like a staple for me going into each season. It was that I just wanted to make sure that we could have the team that would win a championship and go far in the tournament. But, you know, we ran into the national champs. So, I mean, I feel like there's not much you can really do with national champions. Nobody beat them. So, I mean, hey. But to finish my career at Norfolk with a championship was definitely the cherry on top for my career, for sure.
NCAA slam dunk champion Christian Ings joining us here on the program for a couple of more moments. I'm going to tell you what's interesting, as you know, Christian, because you've exhausted your eligibility. But boy, I mean, some of the top players in the MEAC have entered the transfer portal. Just kind of your thoughts. I don't know if you ever had that opportunity, because you had a couple of years prior playing at Rider also. So you had a full career in terms of college basketball. But just kind of your thoughts on the transfer portal, NIL, is it something you had been offered? If you had another year, would it be something you would consider? Just want to kind of get your thoughts on all of that.
It's definitely a new piece in the game of college basketball that's definitely going to change the landscape. I feel like with the whole transfer portal thing, like, if you're going to transfer, it's got to be for reasons, your own personal reasons. Like, don't just transfer because a couple people in your camp are telling, like, yo, you can do this, you can do that, you go here, get a little bit. Like, it should be for what you need to do for your life or what's going on currently in front of you. So, like, for some players in transfer portal, schools are offering life-changing money for them right now. I mean, I wouldn't be who I am if I were to tell you not to go get that, because as a just as someone that came from like not having too much growing up, it's like, this is, you would never believe to have this much money offered to you, and you could do so many things for you and your family with that. So it's like, it's a hard decision for a lot of players that's coming up, because I know a lot of them would love to stay at the institution that they're at where they're having success and, you know, build relationships with the coaches and the people on campus and their teammates and everything. But some of these schools just have life-changing money that you really can't turn down. It's just, it would be a slight to yourself to turn it down. So if, like, in that regard, sometimes you just, it's just how the chips fall. But me personally, like, I would have to, if I still had another year and someone offered me a life-changing money, I'd have to talk to my family first to see how we all feel about it. But then whatever we would decide would be with the decision. But, you know, thank God nobody tried to steal me from Norfolk, because I needed that championship before I left. I couldn't leave without it.
I hear that, man. I really love that answer, man. I really hear that. That's a beautiful thing, man. Not only is he a great basketball player, had a really, really good career at Norfolk State, a true definition of a student athlete, named to the NSU AD honor roll numerous times throughout his career at Norfolk State. We're excited to see what happens to him next. Christian Ings, of course, NCAA dunk champion, MEAC tournament champion, joining us here, a two-time MEAC tournament champion, I might say, joining us here on Box to Row. Christian, really appreciate the time, man. Continued success in all you do.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you for having me.
Appreciate you, Christian. James Burgess of Alabama State NFL hopeful joins us next.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Hey, Patrick, right here. This being your fifth Super Bowl, what do you remember most about this whole process with respect to the first Super Bowl? And when I say the whole process, I mean the preparation, not only for the game, but the media and all of that, as opposed to now. How do you kind of compare that? Is it still kind of fun for you?
Yeah, it's still fun. I mean, every Super Bowl is its own experience. But I think more than anything, it's just preparing, because you know the process. You know what it takes throughout the week, and it gives you more experience and more calm, where you're not worried and you just continue to work to be the best version of yourself you can be, and learn from your previous Super Bowls, and hopefully you can play even better in the game when you get out there on Sunday.
Ron Washington, the manager of the Los Angeles Angels, you're old school. So you've instituted this deal where the players are not allowed to have cell phones in the locker room.
Well, you got a young group, and you're just trying to get some cohesiveness going on. What does goes on the inside of that clubhouse is our sanctuary. I really don't want to have a whole lot to say about that, because it's out there, and it's out there improperly. I'm going to leave that at that. I don't want to talk about that.
I got you. But I like it. I like it, Ron. I like it.
I appreciate that. That's because you have a sane mind.
Box to Row live on Radio Row. We're here at Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. And I'm going to tell you what. We've got a very special guest, right? He was coming over here to talk to us, right? Everybody wanted a piece of him. And now we're able to talk with him. He is the one and only Drew Brees.
Just hanging out, having a good time, enjoying Media Row. Join the city.
Yeah.
You having a good time?
I'm having a great time. 15 years ago today, the Saints won the Super Bowl.
Man, that was a pretty epic time. It was a pretty special time. You know, that was an incredible journey, that 2009 season. Just the whole experience was unbelievable. It was surreal. And the city deserved it. The fan base deserved it. Not a dry eye in the house. It was unbelievable.
Kelvin Sampson, the head men's basketball coach at Houston.
Being raised in Pembroke in the Lumbee Nation was always a badge of honor. But getting the eagle feather is a sign of achievement and respect, and I think how you treat other people. Never forgetting where you came from. I grew up in a time when there was segregation. My dad taught and coached in an all-Indian conference. I mean, coming from that area, I learned a lot of life lessons, but getting the eagle feather is a tremendous honor. But you know right away, it's something you share with a lot of other people.
Here with Stephen Curry, your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson, it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
Dave Roberts, manager of the LA Dodgers. To be person of color and be the manager of the Dodgers, what does that mean to you?
There's not many of us in baseball. To do things the right way, to hopefully give other people of color opportunity, hopefully it just paves the way. So I think that for me, I definitely look at it as responsibility, but something I'm willing to undertake.
Michael B. Jordan.
And I think it's a testament to, you know, what HBCUs mean to people, you know, and having that community and culture and shining a light on the universities, you know what I'm saying, in a real way, and creating a pipeline from these kids in high school and making them feel good about wanting to land at HBCU. We have high, you know, high talent. And often it's gone and shipped out to other places. It's never poured back into the community. So if we can create an environment that's cool and a beacon of light, and people want to feel like they want to be here. And so putting it on a national stage is really big. You know, most of the time these kids don't get televised games, you know what I'm saying? So be able to put them on Turner in a real way was really, really important. And then the brands and then the sponsors, you know what I'm saying? And getting, you know, the NBA, you know, scouts and looks to come in and hopefully like build this thing bigger.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
I appreciate the love that I get, and I appreciate the sport of hip hop. And it's giving me back that same love in return, you know, for the amount of years that I've been doing it. I've always went into it with the same, you know, spirit of I make music for the people. I make it go for them, and I always make them a part of it. And I never separated myself and tried to be a star. I've always wanted to be one of the people that you can look to as somebody that was, you know, like your uncle because of the way that I treat people. And I feel like my career is representative of that. That's why the longevity is there. That's why the love is there. And that's why I maintain the status of, you know, being relevant for so many years.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just, you know, trying to get better every single day. We've been through a lot as a team, and I enjoy playing with a great group of guys. So, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy every moment of it.
Kevin Hart joins us here.
Right now, I'm on cloud nine. This is the time where I'm in demand, so you make the best of it. You pick great projects, you get behind them, and you put them out. And the goal is to keep them coming. So that's making sure that you're in control of your destiny. And right now, I am.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's Box to Row, real, relevant radio. Let's continue here on Box to Row. We're joined by a gentleman, as a matter of fact, who was an HBCU All-American this past year at Alabama State. Also participated in the HBCU Combine, hoping to hear his name called in a couple of weeks in the NFL Draft. James Burgess, defensive back, formerly now of Alabama State, joining us here on Box to Row. What's going on, James? Appreciate your time.
Not much.
Man, let me...
Thank you for having me on here, though.
Oh, man, no, thank you. I know you're extremely busy right now. What's this process been like for you, say, ever since the season ended at Alabama State?
The process has just been like, I've just been trusting the process, putting everything in God's hand. I say I've just been working. Just working and just put my head down and just work. Because you'll get what you get out of all the work. So whatever you put in, you get out of it. So it's just, you know, just put everything inside of God's hand.
Yeah, you've been putting in the work and people have noticed. What teams have you talked to or have talked with you so far?
I didn't talk to, like, the Commanders, the Saints, the Steelers. I didn't talk to a good amount. The Cowboys, the Eagles, the Browns, the Seahawks.
Right.
It'd have been a good amount.
Yeah, no, especially the opportunity presenting itself at the HBCU Combine in February. Just take us through that experience, the whole experience, what that was like for you.
That experience, it was cool to just really just be out there in front of, like, all 32 teams and really just talking to them, just knowing you getting a chance to get the opportunity to, like, as like a kid, you know, seeing stuff like that, and to actually be there, it's a whole different, like, adrenaline rushing to you. So it was a great experience just being out there.
Did you have a pro day also?
Yeah, I actually had two of them. I had one at UAB, and I had another private one at Alabama. It was just me and Malachi Moore.
Okay, well, tell us how both of those went individually.
The one at UAB, I say it was the pro day. I feel like they kind of like rushed us a lot there. So, and it was like 40 degrees, and they had us like running into the wind. So I feel like it was real like rushed out there, and it was like a lot of teams. So I don't feel like the scouts really was like wanted to like give us like a real like opportunity. So that's why I got like was blessed to get the opportunity to run at Alabama, was which I did like way better. But like, I had a solid pro day at both though. Like I was like the only one to do like the DB drills at UAB and at the private one it was just me and Malachi Moore. So yeah, we did a lot of drills, I can tell you that. You know, having just two DBs and doing just DB drills. Yeah, we did. I would say we probably did like 15 drills. Good thing I was in shape.
James Burgess is an HBCU All-American, formerly of now Alabama State. He joins us here on Box to Row, hoping to hear his name called in the National Football League draft in a couple of weeks. Take me through the – no, I was going to say take me through the season. But this is the thing. Before I even ask you about the season, James, it's rare now that you see – a young man like yourself play 4 years at one school. And that's exactly what you did beginning in that COVID year in 2021, playing 4 years at Alabama State, where you excelled, led to the HBCU All-American nod this past season. Just speak to that and just staying when you may have had some opportunities to go elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just real like big on loyalty. So, like, being at Bama State, it really, like, helped me, and like, growing to the man that I am today and, like, on and off the field. So, like, I say, like, the loyalty, like, I'm big on loyalty, so I never thought about leaving. Like, some big schools, they hit me up saying they wanted me, like, into the portal and they'll pick me up. But, like, my guy, Coach James, like, I couldn't – He was my man. He was with me since I met him, and our bunnies. I'm like, it really don't matter where you play at. If you're a baller, you can, they gonna come get you. So that's how I looked at it. So it wouldn't matter me going to big school like Bama or Auburn, like Bama State. Like if you balling, they gonna come get you. So I just stayed where I was at, and trusted the process.
No doubt, because it led to an HBCU All-America nod. You were also named the Aeneas Williams, or won the Aeneas Williams Award for the best defensive back in the nation. What did you play specifically? Were you a corner? Were you safety? What did you play specifically?
I played corner, like, but I can play safety too. Like, safety. If you can play corner, you can play safety too. So it don't matter. That's all. Only thing different about safety, you tackle more, but I tackle too, so like I can do safety and corner. So yeah, like I played corner just cause like I just like the, I don't know, mano y mano, me against, I just like touching people. So yeah, I played safety.
Yeah, no, it's good.
I mean, I played corner.
You play corner, yeah, because you were tied for the lead in the SWAC in terms of interceptions. Let me ask you this. You know, one of the trends I'm seeing, James, more recently, is it seems like interceptions are down. Am I wrong about that? Like it used to be a time guys would have 7-8 interceptions. The league high was 4. You had the league high or tied for the league high.
Yeah, like, and it's crazy because like every opportunity I had to catch a pick, I caught it. So I ain't have too many opportunities because either the quarterback, he's throwing it out of bounds, or he's so scared, he throwing into the dirt. So like, if they throw any good balls, like, I can pick it. Like, I don't know. I guess quarterbacks, they be scared, man, you know.
Well, no.
I feel like I mirror every step a receiver make. So, yeah. They throw it at him, that ball is not 50-50, it's 90-10.
Well, look.
My way.
Right.
My way.
Right. No doubt. But it's a sign of respect. It's a sign of respect.
Yeah, I can say that. But I feel like they should respect their receiver, too. You respect your receiver. You throw him 50-50 so I can show you not 50-50. And I would have more than 4. I feel like my goal for this season was to get at least 10. But it's like once I got to like 3, like when I caught that 4th one, it was like, nah, we're gonna throw like 3-yard hitches. Like if I'm lined up at 7, they'll throw like a 2-yard hitch or throw it out of bounds. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or they'll throw like a drag at like 2 yards. I'm like, man. Okay, so I see how they finna play this. I see how my season's finna go for the rest of this. So yeah. I only control what I control.
That's all you could do. James Burgess joining us here on the program, an HBCU All-American. He was the winner of the Aeneas Williams Award for the best defensive back in the country as well. I think it's interesting because I looked like I didn't get to see you play a whole lot, but 4 interceptions, only 1 yard return. Man, they weren't even trying to throw it so you could do pick sixes, man. You didn't even have hardly any yards after the interception.
Man, it was one of them now. I had caught. It was like my receiver, he went drag, so I told like my safety to take him just because he was already inside, so I switched him to him. So the fact that I guess he tried to run like a corner, so I was already on it. So I turned and when I turned, I caught the ball. So I tried to turn up field. I done lost my foot. That's really why when I fell. I just sat there and I said, oh my God. Like, because I really wanted a pick six. So, like, the fact that I failed, then I caught another one when I basically, like, ran the route for the receiver. Then he ran, like, a post, but I had bumped him. But, like, you really can't see it. Just, like, you know, like, little small things. I had bumped him a little bit. Like, so the ref ain't see none of that because I was already on the top. So when he ran, they threw it upfield. I bumped him a little bit, and I caught up. So I tried, because I seen him behind me. I tried to catch it and spin out. But by the time I caught it, he jumped on my back. So I'm like, man, like, can I get an opportunity to return me something?
Right.
So, yeah, like, I was trying. I tried.
No, I get it, man. What led you to choose? Because you were there. You were there under Hill Ely first, right? Am I right about that, or was it? Mm-hmm. Was it right? Yeah. So what?
I would double coach Ely. I would double coach Ely.
Yeah. What made you even choose Alabama State in the first place, out of Cedar Point, Alabama, Huffman High School?
Oh yeah, like Coach Pearson. That's who my defense coordinator. Like, I built a good bond with him, and. Like, dude, I look up to, like, as a big brother to me, Kenan Isaac. You know, he was another corner that came out of Bama State. Yep. So he was also up there. So that was, like, a plus. So the fact that I was already training with Kenan before I came to college, so that really, like, that helped me. Because, like, you know, coming out of high school, I only played, like, my senior year. I was a basketball player.
Oh.
So, yeah. Now the hoop dreams, man. Hoop dreams is over. Yeah, I only play them. Hey, good thing. I guess it's a good thing I play football. I love it, though. I love it.
No doubt. You got pigskin dreams.
I can't
now,
say that.
Yeah, but no.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt, man. So last thought, you know, take us through sort of a daily routine for you, and then preparation for not just for the draft, but preparation for the NFL, because you still got daily stuff you doing. You had to pick up your sister a little bit earlier.
Yeah, man. You know, early morning, I got to drop my sister off at school. Well, really, I wake up and I email a little breakfast. You know, sometimes she want to eat. You know, she eat a little breakfast. I drop her off. After that, I go to the gym. You know, we do a little workout. After that, then I eat again. Then we do some DB drills. After the DB drills, I got to pick my sister up again. Then later on today, well, after this, I'm finna have to go drop my sister because she got volleyball trials today.
Okay.
So after I drop off, I got to go to my Pilates class. So just staying busy. But I like to stay busy, though. Like, I like to stay busy.
Yeah.
I can't say that.
Well, that's
busy. Busy is good to me.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, James, this has been a pleasure, man, because as busy as you are, you made some time for us today here on Box to Row, and we really appreciate it. James Burgess, again, looking to hear his name called out of Alabama State HBCU All-American, also the winner of the Aeneas Williams Award for the best defensive back in college football, joining us here on Box to Row. James, we appreciate the time, man. We look forward to hearing either hearing your name called or to your next step in watching you play on Sundays in the National Football League.
Thank you for having me on here.
James Burgess of Alabama State, defensive back, his stock is on the rise, joining us here on the program. Another young man whose stock is on the rise, hoping to hear his name called in the NFL draft in a couple of weeks, joins us, and that's up next.
Find the Box to Row YouTube page for conversations with stars like Omari Hardwick, Brandy, Michael Strahan, and with some of our favorite sports guests over the years. Box to Row. Box to Row. Box to
Row. On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Howard head men's basketball coach Kenny Blakeney. Do you have any thoughts in terms of what schools in the MEAC can do to try to generate more NIL dollars?
Can we get them to sign a contract? These young men are required to stay for 2 years. I think it's hard to get somebody in for 3 years. I may not want somebody on my team for 3 years. So where if that person wants to get out of his contract, what is the commitment that the university that he's going to can make to the university he's coming from? Buy out his contract.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
Doesn't matter what your sport, he talks your language. It's Donald Ware. From the Press Box to Press Row, it's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the Press Box to Press Row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
Let's continue here on Box to Row. We're joined by a gentleman, as a matter of fact, and we do this each and every year where we talk with some of the top HBCU guys that have an opportunity to be drafted. We've been doing this since 2005. And on the line, we're joined by a gentleman, as a matter of fact, his stock is on the rise. He played at Jackson State, was part of the HBCU Combine, and he continues to rise. He's safety Rob McDaniel, again, played at Jackson State, hoping to hear his name called in the NFL draft in a couple of weeks as he joins us here on Box to Row. What's going on, Rob? Welcome to the program.
Oh, what's going on? What's going on?
Man, it's all good here. Now, I got to tell you, so I'm a Morgan State graduate, right? And I had my Morgan shirt on. And after reading some stuff, because I'm a Commanders fan, I took off my Morgan shirt and put this Commanders shirt on because I'm reading a lot that the Commanders have interest in you. You had a private dinner with the Commanders? I mean, can you share with us what that was all about?
Oh, yeah. It was honestly much just trying to, you know, him getting to know me getting to know them as an organization, you know, what some of the things they're looking to improve on in the offseason, just, you know, trying to, you know, sell myself a little bit, get my foot in the door.
Yeah, I mean, so how many other teams have you met with to this point?
I done met with probably more than half the teams, probably more. So it's been like I done had the opportunity to talk to at least 20 plus teams.
Very good. That's why I had to throw this command. I'm a huge Commanders fan. I had to throw this shirt on just for you, Rob McDaniel of Jackson. Well, formerly now of Jackson State, as he joins us here on Box Row, hoping to hear his name called a couple of weeks in the National Football League draft. So ultimately, Rob, initially you signed with Jackson State. That's where you started your career a couple of years at Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College, 2 years at Old Corn State. Then you come back to Jackson State. What ultimately led you to come back to Jackson State?
Oh yeah, you know, like how you said, started my career off at Jackson State as my freshman year before transferring to Mississippi Gulf Coast, you know, to, you know, further develop my skills and understanding the game. You know, from there I did have the opportunity to play at Alcorn State, where I continued to grow and showcase my abilities, earning second team HBCU All-American. And then, you know, ultimately I did finish back at Jackson State, where I was able to maximize my potential and versatility, you know, capping off my senior year with one of my my best seasons yet, in and off as a SWAC championship defensive MVP and HBCU national champion.
That is a, it's a beautiful thing, man. And just looking at the numbers, I mean, your numbers were phenomenal. 55 tackles, 10 tackles for loss. You also have 4.5 sacks on the season coming from that safety position. Just speak to what it meant, because Jackson State had been knocking at the door, knocking at the door, knocking at the door for quite some time. Ultimately, the door busted open in part because of your play. Just speak to what it meant to you to help Jackson State to be HBCU national champs.
I mean, you know, it was kind of more so a full circle moment for me, being able to come in, you know, contribute in and off as a champion. It's something I couldn't have wrote better myself. You know, I had been talking with my teammates. I actually been talking with Coach TC, and we, like, even since when I came, when they brought me back in the spring, I had told them we got the pieces, we got the team to do it. We're going to pull it off and be able to be down there in Atlanta. And when the clock hit double zeros, and then knowing that all our hard work and stuff had paid off, it was just the greatest feeling ever.
Is that why, in part, you transferred back to Jackson State? What led you to transfer back to Jackson State after a couple of years at Alcorn State?
Oh yeah, it was just on the right fit for me. You know, coming from, I already had some of the coaches I came in with Coach TC, Coach O, and then one of my former coaches that was at Alcorn there with me, Terenzo Quinn. He, even when I was at Alcorn, he believed in the vision. He believed in my hard work and ethic, and being able to just go there with him giving me the green light to just go out there, play ball, move around a different position so I can be able to show off how dominant I would. And, you know, the rest after that is just, you know, the rest is history.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you had some good pro day numbers, and I want to talk a little bit more about those pro day numbers. But just what was the experience, the overall experience like for you at the HBCU Combine?
Oh, the overall experience was just humbling. You know, being able to, after ending off my senior year and now actually preparing for the draft, continue to go through in the training and stuff. The stuff I was going through. Shout out to X3 Performance. Shout out to my agent and my team for helping me prepare me for interviews. Continue to invest in me at the facility. You know, make sure I'm putting the right stuff into my body, making sure that I'm getting the necessary training that I need when it came to my 40, my broad jump, my bench test, my vert. Like, just being able to showcase my skills and my abilities at the combine.
Rob McDaniel, safety, formerly now of Jackson State, hoping to hear his name called in a couple of weeks at the National Football League draft, joining us here on the program. Do you like, you're doing more of these, probably many more in terms of interviews and things of that nature, probably much more than you did, maybe even all your years combined in college. Do you like doing this kind of stuff? It seems like you like doing this kind of stuff.
Oh, no, it's definitely something new that I have been able to get into, because, you know, like, to this point, I wasn't getting any interviews or anything like that. But, you know, I'm still adjusting, still getting used to it. But now it's coming like second nature, and I'm happy to be able to, you know, come on to these platforms, share my story, show that, you know, what type of player I am, who I am as a person, and, you know, trying to make my next step going into the next level.
Let me read off some numbers to our audience. Of course, you're going to know these numbers. 4.55 40, 39.5-inch vertical jump, which was a whole inch more than at the HBCU Combine. Did 10.11 at the broad jump, and you did 10.8 at the HBCU Combine, and then 14 bench press reps. Those, Rob, are some really, really good numbers, but speak to how you were able to increase those numbers in particular in the vertical jump and the broad jump.
It was more so making sure to take care of my body. You know, that was something, even going into this season, I want to make sure I can get the best out of myself when it came to my mobility and my stretches. So just taking those extra steps and seeing how it's now all continuing to pay off is just something, you know, I had honestly just planned on doing. Make sure that I'm stretching my heels, make sure I'm stretching my quads, my hip flexors, my glutes, because, you know, all your abilities and your athleticism comes from your legs, and I want to continue to showcase that.
Absolutely. Rob McDaniel, game, formerly now of Jackson State, plays safety, hoping to hear his name called in a couple of weeks in the NFL draft. He joins us here on the program. What is your height and weight now? I've got you from Jackson State listed at 6'2", 207. What are you now?
Right now, I'm currently 6'2", 212, 213.
Okay. Put on a little weight, man. But talk, what kind of safety was Rob McDaniel at Jackson State? And then what kind of safety is he now that, you know, he's had the combine, he's had this pro day, do you feel like he's developing into?
At Jackson State, I'm going to continue to just stress this. I'm just a ball player, whatever you need me to be, you know. Any, like, when it just comes to playing in a scheme or any type of defense, I'm a fast learner. I'm able to go out there in any spot, you know, contribute, make plays, you know, affect the games in a multitude of ways while also helping out my teammates as well. And then going into the next level, that's what I'm going to continue to showcase, you know, showcase my versatility, showcase my playmaking ability, my ball skills, my aggressiveness, my tenacity when it comes to the game. So it won't be nothing much different that's going to change, honestly, but the team that I'm playing for.
He was – now, that guy, Rob McDaniel, though, now he put some licks on some guys last year, though, right, from that safety position, right?
Oh, yes, sir. Hey, I'm going to tell you, once you – hey, many people don't really like feeling me when I come down. That's honestly, I can't say they don't try to jog out of bounds when I'm right there or walk out of bounds, because they do. Don't let me get a shot on you.
Yeah, 6'2", 212. I can imagine, you know, as much. You know, for you, what are some of the things that the scouts are saying about you, or saying to you about you?
Some of the things that, you know, I continue to just showcase on my film. They can't pinpoint a spot where I'm playing. They be like, man, you play safety, you play corner, you play inside slot. Then there was sometimes you were on the line, you were in the box. Like, what type of player are you? Like, where do you feel most comfortable playing? And, you know, I continue to show, tell them, you know, I'm just a playmaker. You know, no matter where you put me at, you know, I'm gonna make plays. I'm going to cause turnovers. I'm going to get the ball back. I can lock down the side of the field if you need me to. I can come down, tackle, cover, play zone. It honestly doesn't matter.
Yeah. And then what are some of the things you feel like you need to improve upon?
I would say maybe probably one of the things I need to improve on is maybe I'm a bit hard on myself. You know, when it comes to football, sometimes you're going to give up plays. You know, I kind of be too hard. I'm kind of hard on myself because I don't like – me personally, I never like giving up plays or like making a mistake. So that just goes in the further, and, you know, watching film, making sure that I'm getting the extra work out to practice stuff in so I can limit those any type of mistakes or plays that I might give up.
And then where do you – lastly, Robin, we really appreciate the time. Where do you plan to be to watch the NFL draft and hear your name called in a couple of weeks?
I'm going to be right here in my hometown, Jackson, Mississippi. Probably just going to hang around, be with my dog, hang with the family, just chill, nothing too crazy. Just, hey, like you said, waiting on that call.
And I know you'll be excited to hear once that call comes around. Again, Rob McDaniel, formerly now of Jackson State. He's a safety, participated in the HBCU Combine, did very well at his pro day. His stock is on the rise. He joins us here on Box to Row, hoping to hear his name called in the NFL draft in a couple of weeks. Rob, an absolute pleasure, man. We'll be looking forward to seeing you on Sundays next year in the National Football League.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's speak it into existence. I appreciate it.
Look, my time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to James Burgess, to Rob McDaniel, Christian Ings, all for joining us today here on Box to Row. For more information on the program, you missed any of these conversations, you can visit our YouTube page. Also, visit our website, boxtorow.com. And always remember to support those that support your Box to Row is produced by DW Communications. Don't be fair when Cypress Hill has come. Any questions asked them, because we are answering.